you the people for the incredible output of energy over the last 12 days. And I came across an article. It's written by Grant Freeland. He wrote it in 2018. And the title of the article is this: Talent Wins Games, Teamwork Wins Championships. Now, the quote came from Michael Jordan, one of the greatest basketball players ever, and he said this: talent wins games, but teamwork and intelligence wins championships. So this is an abbreviation of his quote, but the key thought is this: you can have great players on a team and still not win. And what it takes is people who work together in a sense of communication and collaboration to win the championship. Now, in this article, this Grant Freeland says this: the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics won their division in 2017, both professional basketball teams. And he went on to say that they were below average in their payout of salaries. There were eight other teams who had above average payout of salary that had a losing record. Now, these were a lot of the superstars. But the Golden State Warriors went on to win the championship, the NBA championship, in 2017. And here's what he said. They did a deeper study. This team that seemed just kind of average, or they had some good talent, here's what they found out. These two teams, the Warriors and the Celtics, had an above average percentage of assists. You know what an assist is? It's when one player passes the ball to the other because they have a better opportunity to score. They had a 15 to 30% above average percentage of assists as a team. And so the Golden State Warriors won the NBA title that year, and a big part of the reason is they had teamwork because of their focused on being an assist to the other person. So I thought about this past 12 days, and I have to say, church family, It's about having a mindset of assists. What does that mean? Working together as a team. Some people behind the scenes, you didn't even see them or hear them. Others were on the fairgrounds. Some were home praying. And so you put all that together, and here's the kernel thought of the message. Talent can win games, but it takes a team of people who assist each other to win a championship. And so as I think about the fairgrounds and the tent this year, I kind of view it as a championship win for the church family. You're amazing. And the reason that we got through it wasn't perfect, and yet we got through it and did it in a way that we trust, honored God, and we cared for each other. It was because of having an assist mindset to help the other person through teamwork to make it work. I text Diane Lipinay, and I got a response from someone. I asked her, how many people actually worked at the tent? And the number that came back was 130. Now, that included us as a church, and it also included a whole bunch of other people outside the church family. And this group of 130 people came together and worked in a way that they assisted each other to make it happen. So this morning, the message I want to share is this. It's rooted in the book of Nehemiah. We've talked about him before. I want to talk about five things that make a championship team as it applies to a business, a church, an organization, a group of people. Five things that I think epitomize or capture the essence of what it takes to be a championship team that focuses on assisting other people to make it happen. All right. So we are better together because of that. So number one in your notes. The first thing that I think summarizes the focus of a team is this. They all focused around the mission. Any kind of a championship level playing group will always focus on the mission. So what was our mission? To serve God by loving people. We just want to go down there and be God's presence to hurting people. In the book of Nehemiah, read with me verses 17 and 18 in your notes. Then I, Nehemiah, said to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me, and what the king had said to me. They replied, "Let us start rebuilding." So they began this good work. The kernel thought in point one is this. There was a need, and the invitation was extended about the walls being broken, and let's do something about it. And the people said, "Let us start rebuilding." You know what it takes to make something happen in a community or even elsewhere in the world? It's when a group of people said, "Let's focus to get something done." Now, the pancake tent, the 12-day mission trip, was all about focusing on the mission to make a difference in the lives of people that we bump into. We serve pancakes and breakfast and all the food and so forth, but it was really about the people we interact with. And so the first point of being a championship team is when you focus around the mission, which for us was serving God by loving people on the fairgrounds. Now, in a previous message, I talked about three things: listening, building people up with your words, and then sharing your faith. A couple of things that happened to me. Before we even got the tent going, I was at the Sunoco station, ran into somebody, and he started talking about his life, and he'd been married 30 plus years, and he and his wife had separated. I wasn't expecting that, and it was just something that popped up, and we prayed, and you never know the story of what's going on in someone's life. Another time for me, I was going down where the entryway is, I think it's the second driveway to the fairgrounds, and ran into somebody that had surgery some time ago, and it was major. He's still recovering from that. We talked about it, and we prayed right there out in the lawn where he was standing. And I'm sure you had many opportunities, your own stories, of how God just used maybe 5 minutes or 3 minutes to encourage or have a conversation with somebody. But it's always about people, and I want to say thank you again for that sense of focus to make a difference in the people we rub shoulders with. Here's a quote. "To succeed in your mission, you must have single-minded devotion to your goal." So thank you again, church family, for that sense of focus about caring for people. Number two, the second thing that made Nehemiah's group work is this. They assembled work teams based on three things, three different areas. Letter A is what I call affiliation. Read with me verses 1 and 2 in your notes. Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, where they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hananel. So here's what they did. They said, "Let's rebuild the walls around Jerusalem." They assembled people together, teams to work. Now, here's what's interesting. There was a group of priests that knew other priests, and they got together to do work. The Young at Heart group and others got together one morning, and they were here in the Harvey Center, and they wrapped about 2,000 deals of silverware. And so through affiliation, they just teamed together to make it happen. There was a prayer team. People met in prayer. That's where their heart was. So they were willing to meet and pray for the entire time we're down there. There were kids that came from the football team. And it's an affiliation thing. I'm coming because you're coming. And they worked hard. Jane Francisco does camping through the summer. And she had about six people that were camping friends that came to work, I think, the first Sunday morning. You see, people bond together based on just the affiliation of knowing each other. Letter B in your notes. Here's the second one. They work together as a family. Read with me the verse under letter B. The fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hassanah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. So they got together as families. Now here's what's neat. I thought about the Charleses, and they had a big network, and they did a couple shifts together. It's a family. The Lipanese, the Chiapettas, the Tweedies, the Beaches and the Fishers. There's many other families represented here in which they got together to push it forward. Here's the key insight. If you want to be a part of something that's a championship team, you work together as subunits to make it happen. And so it was through affiliation groups and through families. There's a last one, letter C. They got together based on living location. Read with me verse 5. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa. In other words, there's a group of people who live close to each other, and they said, let's do this together. Here's the point. When you take on a huge project, whether it's a pancake tent or something else, assemble people together based on their affiliation groups, their families, or their living location, and that's what makes a team a championship team in assisting other people. So number one, they focused on the mission. Number two, they assembled as teams. And number three, they encouraged each other. They encouraged each other. Read with me in Nehemiah 4, the notes. I forgot that one. Thank you, Kevin. Here's a quote. Alone we can do so little. Together we can do so much. So thank you, church family, for coming together to make it happen as team. All right, let's read the verses under number three. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. I love it in verse 10. The people's strength was giving out. You probably had an experience this past week where you felt like you were giving out yourself. Your strength was like, okay, can I really make it? I kind of felt that way myself at times. But when you encourage each other, it is the cement of a championship team. You just work together and encourage people. And in Nehemiah's time, he says, remember the Lord. You know, there's sometimes the only way we get through something, whether it's a treatment process, a loss of a loved one, or a struggle in life, is when you remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and it gives us the strength to fight to continue to go on. Here's two quotes. Here's the first one. Be someone's strength. Be someone's inspiration. Be someone's reason to never give up. When you leave here today, or even this week, each of us will probably come across somebody who needs to be encouraged. Be someone's strength when they are weak. Be their inspiration. Be their reason not to give up. And so, church family, I want to thank you for this past 12 days that you encouraged other people. It was a tough slug at times. It was hard. It was tiring. But let me tell you, when you encourage one another, incredible things happen. And here's the other quote. Encouragement is awesome. If you can't read this, let me read it. It can actually change the course of another person's day. I want you to think about that. Do you realize that what you say to someone else this week could change the course of their day? It can make all the difference. And so this team of people in Nehemiah's day encouraged one another, and so did we during the past 11 to 12 days. All right, number four. I like this one. The fourth thing that made them an amazing team is this. They remembered others. They remembered others. Read with me verses 1 and 2 in your notes. Now the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their Jewish brothers. Some were saying, "We and our sons and daughters are numerous. In order for us to eat and stay alive, we must get grain." In other words, these people were hurting because of their shortage. And any time a team functions the way it should, it will remember other people that are hurting. So I thought about, you know, the Be My Guest coupons, and sometimes we give those to people just to bless them. Although I observed throughout the week that coupons were given to people that truly needed them. And not only that, the conversations that happened within the tent and during that time is with people who need to be remembered in terms of just somebody loving them and caring for them. And so we find the principle here is when you're on a championship team, you have to always think past yourself and think of other people who are hurting, that you can be a voice or assistance or a presence to help them through their difficult time. So number one, they focused on the mission. Number two, they assembled as teams to do a work. Number three, they encouraged one another. Number four, they remembered other people who were struggling or hurting. And here's a quote I'll have Kevin put up. Let's read it together. What makes a day worth remembering is not what you have enjoyed, but what you have done for others. I think that's a profound quote. It's not what we have enjoyed necessarily, but it's what you do for other people. And so this past week or 10 days, thank you for all that you did for other people in trying to help them in their life's journey. All right, and finally, number five. A championship team will work until the job is completed. Read with me verses 15 and 16 in your notes. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Let me stop and say this. Anything worthwhile in life will always take the help of God to get through it. If you can do it yourself, and you don't need God's help in a special way, chances are the goal is pretty small. But when a group of people take on a larger project, it will come down to needing the help of God to get them through it. So it was with Nehemiah. But they worked until the job was completed. Here's a couple of quotes. The greatest reward is the satisfaction of a job well done. So true, isn't it? The greatest reward is when, as Vince Lombardi says, you leave it all out on the field and you have a sense of deep satisfaction even though you're exhausted from the engagement. Here's another quote. The fruit of your own hard work is the sweetest. John Maxwell says everything worthwhile is uphill, which means everything worthwhile you gotta work for. And this fruit of your hard work is sweet satisfaction. And here's another one. When you put your trust in God, the impossible becomes possible. Let me just stop on that thought. Church family, throughout the last 10, 15, 20 years, there's been many things attempted and accomplished by the church. Some are small, some are bigger. The bigger ones always require, in a very distinct way, the help of God to pull it off. But when a church family trusts God and you lean into it and step into the Jordan River for the sea to part, when we do that, God will make the impossible possible. So the last 12 days, it's been a challenge. It's been hard. But the Better Together theme, really, it just summarizes it all. Because a championship team, listen, will always play with a mindset to assist the other person. You might score at one point, but you give the ball to somebody else to make it happen. And when you do that, listen, talent can win games, but teamwork wins championships. And I want to say, church family, thank you for being a championship team. We're not perfect. Mistakes were made. We can do things better. But I will say this, our mission of making a difference was accomplished. So the two words, it's on some of our new shirts, and I'll have Kevin put it up, Better Together. I'm going to close with this. A couple weeks ago, I shared with you the two things I learned from last year's pancake tent. Number one was, it's hard work. And you know what? It repeated itself this year. I mean, I know people are tired and exhausted, but let me tell you, it's hard work. But the second point is this. The payoff is huge. The privilege of being on the fairgrounds and operating the tent in our 15th year, it's huge. It's a privilege to be a part of a community, Walton community, where people look forward to coming to the tent. And they look forward just to the presence of the church family and others. And so the payoff is huge. And after about 5 o'clock today, maybe we'll focus on the payoff. It's called getting sleep or resting. But it's hard work, but the payoff is huge. And I just want to say, thank you for being a part of a championship team. Not one or two people, it's a whole bunch of us put together to win. And it wasn't perfect, but you feel like you're a part of something bigger than you are, and you feel the win. And I want you to take that with you today, the win. Say, you know what? I did what I could. I did this piece. I did that part. And you're part of the win, and that is the payoff. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you this morning, we humble ourselves and we just look to you in faith. And we praise and worship you. I thank you for this group of people and those listening online and those at the fairgrounds and those others that jumped in for a shift or two. I thank you for their willingness to serve and make a difference in other people's lives. We pray that all the seeds that were sown through the words that were shared or the deeds that were expressed, and that you would bless them and water them. And Father, I pray that the wind will swell in each person's heart, that there would be a sense of deep satisfaction for the price that was paid to make it happen, to honor you, to serve you, and to love other people. So, Father, bless those that are at the fairgrounds and the remainder of this day as we tear down things and bring it back to the church. And I pray that come 5 o'clock, Lord, we'll be able to somehow relish the sense of the blessing of God in serving you and serving others, even though it was hard work. The payoff is huge. And for that, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.